News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. Violence broke out at Jawaharlal Nehru University on Sunday night as masked men armed with sticks attacked students and teachers and damaged property on the campus, prompting the administration to call in police. Over 20 people, including JNU Students Union President Ayesha Ghosh, were injured and admitted to the All India Institute of Medical Sciences as chaos reigned on the campus late in the evening. The violence drew strong reactions from opposition parties, which hit out at the BJP and accused those in power of trying to scuttle the voice of students. Senior union ministers and JNU alumni S. Jayashankar and Nirmala Sitharaman swiftly condemned the incident. Sitharaman asserted that the government wants universities to be safe spaces for all students. The Home and HRD Ministry sought reports from Delhi Police and JNU administration respectively. Home Minister Amit Shah spoke to the Delhi Police Chief and inquired about the situation at JNU. Sources said the violence started at around 5 p.m. The JNU administration said masked miscreants armed with sticks were roaming around, damaging property and attacking people, and that police had been called in to maintain law and order. The students alleged that the attackers entered hostels and assaulted students and teachers. Video footage aired by some TV channels showed a group of men who were brandishing hockey sticks moving around a building. Delhi police said it conducted a flag march and the situation was brought under control after it got a written request from the JNU administration. The left-controlled JNUSU and the ABVP blamed each other for the violence. The students' union alleged that its members, including Ghosh, were injured in stone pelting by ABVP members. But the RSS-backed students' organization alleged that its members were brutally attacked by left-affiliated student outfits and 25 of them were injured while 11 were missing. Among the injured was the secretary of its JNU unit. With the reopening of the Supreme Court today after winter vacation, all eyes will be on the adjudication of contentious issues, including the controversial Citizenship Amendment Act and abrogation of provisions of Article 370 of the Constitution. The year 2020 will also witness the apex court constituting a 7-judge constitution bench to examine the issue of entry of women of all ages into the hill shrine of historic Sabarimala temple, which was referred by a 5-judge bench for fixing parameters to deal with alleged discrimination against Muslim and Parsi women. The first working day of the new year is also likely to have a mention of the petition filed by Tata Sons Private Limited challenging the December 18 decision of NCLAT restoring Cyrus Mistry as the executive chairman of the group and saying the verdict had undermined corporate democracy and the rights of its board of directors. The top court will also take up the contentious issue of whether the creamy layer concept should apply to scheduled castes and scheduled tribes while giving them reservations and promotions. In December 2019, the centre had urged the Supreme Court to refer its 2018 verdict excluding the creamy layer within the SCST community from reservation benefits to a 7-judge bench for a review. The apex court will also keep an eye on air pollution matters in which the court has been passing a slew of directions from time to time. On January 21, a 5-judge constitution bench headed by Justices N.V. Ramana is likely to resume hearing on a batch of petitions challenging the centre's August last year decision to abrogate provisions of Article 370, which gave special status to the erstwhile state of Jammu and Kashmir. The top court had on December 12 indicated that it may consider the question of referring the issue of challenge to the abrogation of provisions of Article 370 to a larger 7-judge bench after hearing the preliminary submission of all the parties. A number of petitions have been filed in the matter, including that of private individuals, lawyers, activists, and political parties, and they have also challenged the Jammu and Kashmir Reorganization Act 2019, which splits J&K into two union territories, Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh. Eyes are also set on the pronouncement of verdict on a batch of pleas, including that of Congress leader Ghulam Nabi Azad challenging restrictions imposed in the erstwhile state of Jammu and Kashmir following abrogation of provisions of Article 370. The top court had on November 27 last year reserved its verdict on a batch of pleas challenging the restrictions imposed in the erstwhile state. The very next day, on January 22, a bench headed by Chief Justice S.A. Bobde is scheduled to hear a batch of petitions challenging the constitutional validity of the amended Citizenship Act, which seeks to grant citizenship to non-Muslim migrants belonging to Hindu, Sikh, Buddhist, Christian, Jain, and Parsi communities who came to the country from Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan on or before December 31, 2014. The top court on December 18, while agreeing to examine the issue, had issued notice to the centre and sought its response by the second week of January. And the blowback over the US killing of a top Iranian general mounted on Sunday as Iran announced it will no longer abide by the limits contained in the 2015 nuclear deal, and Iraq's parliament called for the expulsion of all American troops from Iraqi soil. The twin developments could bring Iran closer to building an atomic bomb and enable the Islamic State group to stage a comeback in Iraq, making the Middle East a far more dangerous and unstable place. Iranian state television cited a statement by President Hassan Rouhani's administration saying the country would not observe limits of fuel enrichment on the size of its enriched uranium stockpile and on its research and development activities. The Islamic Republic of Iran no longer faces any limitations in operations, a state TV broadcaster said. In Iraq, meanwhile, lawmakers voted in favor of a resolution calling for an end to the foreign military presence in the country, including the estimated 5,200 U.S. troops stationed to help battle Islamic State extremists. The bill is subject to approval by the Iraqi government, but has the backing of the outgoing prime minister. In yet another sign of rising tensions and threats of retaliation over the deadly airstrike, the U.S.-led military coalition in Iraq said it is putting the battle against IS on hold to focus on protecting its own troops and bases. The string of developments capped a day of mass mourning over Iranian Major General Qasem Soleimani, killed in a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad on Friday. Hundreds of thousands of people flooded the streets in the cities of Ahvaz and Mashhad to walk alongside the casket of Soleimani, who was the architect of Iran's proxy wars across the Middle East and was blamed for the deaths of hundreds of Americans in suicide bombings and other attacks. The U.S. State Department had no immediate comment on Iran's announcement. As for Iraq, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was asked before the vote whether the U.S. would comply with a troop withdrawal request, but would not answer directly. He said the U.S. is prepared to help the Iraqi people get what it is they deserve and continue our mission there to take down terrorism from ISIS and others in the region. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.